It's time for the Graham Capital Market Update, a daily look at Wall Street brought to you by Graham Capital, an estate planning and investment management firm right here in Florida. How hard is your money working for you? Let's find out with your hosts, David Graham and Stosh Graham.
This is Dave Graham, the Retirement Guy, and you're listening to Graham Capital's Market Update, brought to you every day on 1250 WHNZ at 6 p.m. Come and listen to us, get an idea of what was happening to the markets during that day. You get a better understanding of what you need to do to protect your monies and make sound decisions when it comes to planning someday for your retirement so you simply don't run out of money. Show is brought to you by Graham Capital Advisors. We're the people that you come to when you're getting ready for retirement and you want to do it correctly. You want to do it properly. Let us help you. We have offices in Tampa on Kennedy Boulevard, across from the West Shore Mall, on Ringling Boulevard in Sarasota, and then down in Venice. Come and see us. If you could hear my voice, we got an office near you. Planning for retirement is legal, planning, and investing. All three. You can't miss any. You have legal because you need to get your house in order. It's the foundation of your assets. What's the sense of us getting you 3 or 4 more percent in interest if you're going to lose it all anyway? Come on. Let's be smart. How would you lose it? If you get sick. God forbid if something debilitating happened to you. It's the leading cause of bankruptcy for anyone over the age of 55 is health issues. Okay, take those off the table. You'll be safe. You'll be secure. You'll know someone's coming to bat for you to reposition your assets so you don't lose it all to spend down and all those elder law issues. Get legal. Then you plan. You get a real plan by a real planner, certified financial planner, certified estate planner. Someone that has a professional designation. In our office, we have it all. It's tax time. We have a CPA right in our office. Come and see us. Don't wait with your taxes. Get it over with. The sooner you get it over with, the less stress you're going to have in your life. Come and see us. We'll be happy to take care of your taxes also. Then last but not least, you plan for retirement. You invest for retirement properly. And what does that mean? First rule of investing, don't lose money. Second rule of investing, don't forget the first rule. Let us help you. Go to our website. Schedule an appointment. It's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. And I might add, if you're a fan of Dave Ramsey and just got done listening to his show, I want you to know that we're the only people on the radio in the Tampa Bay, Sarasota area that are SmartVestor pros. We got Dave's blessing. We represent his organization. So if you like what you hear from him, come and see us. And we'll follow his philosophy, and I think you're going to be pleasantly happy with what we do for you. As always, before we get started, let's offer a huge heartfelt thanks to our police, firefighters, emergency personnel, our teachers. What about all the men and women in the military services who are so far from home and protecting us? Where would we be without them? Thank God we have them. And with that, I'll tell you, a little levity here. Here's one for you. Here's the quote of the week. I need to retire from retirement. You know who said that? Sandra Day O'Connor. When it comes to planning for your investments, you know, there are things what we look in the industry as income gaps. These are income gaps that you might encounter during your retirement. So let's look at some and see if these apply to you. What about a paycheck gap? What's that? It's highly unlikely that you'll be able to walk away from your paycheck and immediately replace it with that income from your Social Security check and a pension. That's if you're lucky enough to have one. How will you use your investments to fill the gap? Remember, retirement is getting a monthly check. That's something you got to live on. If you're not working, where's that money going to come from? Well, obviously you have a Social Security check. Thank goodness you have that for some people. But then what else do you have? You have a pension? Probably not. They're just about antique nowadays. But do you have a 401k, a 403b, 457, Roth IRA or IRA? Anything that's tax deferred, that you probably do have. So you're going to need to invest that properly, and you don't ever want to lose it. I always tell people this, that if you're 59 and a half, remember this, you can now go in and reposition your 401k, your 403b, your 4 anything, whatever you have qualified, you can reposition it yourself and take control of it. In 99.9% of the cases, you can do that. If you do that, you know what's going to happen? Not only are you going to be safer, you're going to make more money. One academic study after another says the same thing. the sooner you start controlling your own destiny, not only are you going to be safer, you're going to have more money. Come over to Graham Capital Advisors and we'll show you how to do that. But you're going to have that gap and you better start thinking about it. The sooner you start thinking about how am I going to live in retirement, the easier it's going to be for you. But if you come and see us, we can help you fill those gaps. There's another gap. What about a Social Security Medicare gap? If you're retiring before 62, you can't start Social Security right away. It will eventually kick in. But how will you fill that gap until then? Maybe you don't want to start your benefit at 62. I always tell people, look, don't take it at 62 if you don't need it. Because from 62 to 67, it grows 6% a year. And then after that, up to 70 and change, it grows 8% a year. You only take it when you need it. Okay? But either way, remember that. The same story with Medicare. If you're retiring before 65, what will you do for your health insurance until you reach Medicare age? Okay, before 65, it's very, very expensive. So again, it's not nice to think about retiring early, but you got to cover all the bases. Okay, what about an inflation gap? Most of the income streams that you rely on in retirement aren't going to go away, keep up with inflation. Okay, Social Security recipients, they get a cost of living adjustment, but that adjustment is less than the actual rate of inflation. Pensions may or may not have an adjustment each year. Without a plan to outpace inflation, your buying power is simply going to decrease year after year. You have to remember that also. If you're on a fixed income, everything's going to keep getting more and more expensive. You need to come up with a way of covering it. And if you're going to get a job, I can tell you right now, as you get older, Walmart's not hiring too many more greeters, okay? And then, of course, we talked earlier about getting legal. Well, the long-term care gap, retirement could be humming along just fine until you end up in a nursing home. And suddenly you got a $90,000 bill that's going to give you all the needs that you need to have taken care of. But how are you going to fill that gap? I guess, and last but not least, let's call this, what about a widow's gap? You know, a lot of people don't plan for the income gap that they have to be created by the death of a first spouse. At the very least, you know, a widowed spouse will lose the lesser of the two Social Security benefits, but pensions could be decreased or eliminated entirely depending on spousal benefits. So again, these are gaps that you're going to experience, and you have to come up with a way of making sure you can fill them. We're very, very cognizant of them because all week long, day in and day out, we're helping people fill gaps, income gaps. And if any of that, what I just said, applies to you, come and see us. Let us show you how we can fill the gap for you so you don't have to start worrying about it. Come and see us. The website address is GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. That's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. Coming up next is Stosh Graham, the Chief Investment Officer, Managing Director of Graham Capital Wealth Management in Washington, D.C. That's GrahamCapitalWealth.com. Let me ask you, if you're like 9 out of 10 clients that I meet every week, or like virtually every American that's within 5 years of retirement, you don't have a financial game plan, am I describing you? You know, you're basically working, operating in the dark. And you don't know what you can and can't afford in retirement, right? But the real reason you don't have a financial game plan is because you don't know what to do. Simple as that. You're scared. So you do nothing at all, right? Again, you don't know how you're going to generate income when the paychecks stop coming every 2 weeks and you worry. You worry because you really don't know if you have enough money to last you for the rest of your life. So all of this weighs on your shoulders like a ton of bricks. But the one thing you do know is that you can't afford to risk losing one thin dime of your retirement savings. It's taken your whole lifetime to earn it. So one thing's for sure, if you continue to do the same thing you're doing now, which is nothing, the result will be the same. So take the first step. Make 2024 the year to get your financial act together. Call us for a free, no-obligation consultation. Let's see if there's a fit, okay? Let's see if we can help you. Graham Capital Advisors, leading planning for retirement. We invest properly. Let us help you. You know, we specialize in safety, security, asset preservation, but at the same time, make your money work for you to provide the income you're going to need in retirement. We're not searching for a 30% return, but you might be surprised at what some of the new investments that are out there today and what they can do for you, which they were never around when our parents or grandparents retired. So if you want to learn more about it, go to our website, schedule a no obligation consultation. Come and see us, Tampa, Sarasota, Venice. It's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. And online, we have Stosh Graham, Chief Investment Officer, Managing Director of Graham Capital Wealth Management in Washington, D.C. That's GrahamCapitalWealth.com. How's it going, Stosh?
How's it going, David?
Pretty good. Let me ask you something. You know, was there anything interesting from the jobless claims data that came out on Thursday morning?
Yeah, no, not really. You saw more of the same. You saw initial jobless claims that were right around expectations. Personally, I think, David, the bigger story is the continuing rise of continuing jobless claims. Look, initial jobless claims can be very, very noisy. When someone gets laid off, especially if you're a worker in the tech space, usually your severance package disqualifies you from initial jobless claims because your severance just pays out so well. I think what's telling is the continued rise over the last couple of quarters in continuing jobs claims, because you think about what exactly is a continued rise or a persistent rise in continuing jobs claims. That is people that were laid off that are in the jobs market and they cannot find a job. So again, it's one of those dynamics where, and this kind of ties into what we talked about yesterday on the show, the labor market is simply not as strong as people believe. And I know, again, you know, we talked about the JOLTS report, which covers job openings and how basically each month last year in 2023, the JOLTS report that came out for the month of January, when it updated the whole year of 2023, basically said, yeah, we overestimated the amount of jobs that were available nearly every single month in 2023. But separately from the initial jobless claims and the continuous jobless claims, what I thought was interesting was there's also another jobs report that's probably put together by the Challenger Group. So there's a Challenger jobs report. And basically that talks about how many people were hired. And what we noticed from the Challenger jobs report was that overall businesses or their bottom line conclusion was at the start of 2024, they're seeing a persistent wave of layoffs. Businesses are aggressively slashing costs. You have technological innovations. I think some of that might be AI related, but it's reshaping staffing needs. I'm paraphrasing their conclusion. But what they're noticing or what they witnessed is, and this is, I'll just quote this from the Challenger report. This is the lowest year-to-date total for announced hiring plans on record since Challenger began tracking hiring plans in 2009. So that means going back 15 years of the Challenger jobs, they have witnessed the weakest start year to date of hiring plans across their universe of companies hiring people. Again, right. It's just another data. It doesn't mean the economy is going to fall off a cliff or the stock market's going to fall off a cliff, but it does indicate what our thesis was. It started a few months ago, was that the labor market has turned. And now you're not going to see a pickup because that's not how the labor market operates. When you see a pivot in the labor market, it's either going from good to bad or bad to good. So right. We know the labor market was very strong for the preceding 3 years. But right. A few months ago, it made its pivot. Maybe a few quarters ago, it made its pivot. Now we're in the negative stretch. And now it's just a matter of when do we see an acceleration of layoffs or an acceleration in the unemployment rate here in the U.S.
Right. Well, it's going to be interesting to see. And we know you're tracking it, which is a good thing because you have to not be wrong on any of your investments with what you're doing. So that's good to hear. Let me ask you this. Someone asked me this morning about mortgages, and I didn't even realize this until they brought it up. Then I looked it up. But U.S. mortgages now dropped for the first time in about a month and a half or so. The average 30-year Treasury fixed loan was 6.88%. It isn't 6.88 now. Last week or so, it was almost 6.94. And it seems like borrowing costs now, they've been hovering around 6.5 since last year sometime, I guess. And that's kind of limiting the purchasing power of many people that want to be buying a house. And so, yeah, I guess the question is, you know, mortgage rates that continue to be one of the biggest hurdles now for potential home buyers that are looking to enter the market. So where do you see the interest rates going now with everything going on with the Fed?
I mean, look, mortgages are tough to come by. You know, I'm not necessarily too focused in on the differences between 6.8 and 7. I mean, they're prohibitive interest rates. And look, we did see a period where mortgages a couple months ago hit 5 and in the 5 handle, and you saw some people come back onto the market. But as interest rates move back up to 7 or in the upper 6s now, you have seen people fall off. You have seen less interest in a house. And again, intuitively, that makes sense. Look, we talked about this yesterday. Supply is very, very low. And I'm not necessarily too certain where that supply is going to come from. Because that means either you need a wave of foreclosures, or as I mentioned yesterday, you're going to need a wave of baby boomers looking to downsize. But when you have a 3% mortgage, I think it's very, very tough to justify someone selling, or really someone getting foreclosed on a 3% mortgage, because your service to that debt is just very, very low. It requires layoffs, and it requires people who lose their job and then can't find a job, and obviously they can't pay that even low mortgage rate on their existing house. So again, it's just very tough to project how housing prices fall off if there's no supply. You really need to limit demand, and maybe that's a part of the Federal Reserve's equation to get housing prices down to really help out with the affordability issue, or separately to help out with the shelter-related inflation pressures that are keeping inflation, especially when you look out at a 3 to 5 year time frame, still at elevated levels. Deceleration inflation. We've spent plenty of time talking on the show about inflation.
Right.
That the growth rates have come down, no question. But when you compare it over a 3 to 5 year time frame, inflation is still very high. The cost of a good, a cost of a service, a cost from a house is materially higher than where we were 3 and 5 years ago. And ultimately, that's what the people are paying. It's not the change in the rate year over year of inflation. It's the absolute price that people are paying. And when you look out over intermediate term timeframes like 3 and 5 years, it's still very expensive.
Sure. You know, we had right now in investing, you know, everyone's talking about the Magnificent Seven, you know, the tech industry, NVIDIA. And I guess the question is now, look, we saw how quickly it rose the last quarter of last year. You know, I mean, you're talking about 50% increases. That chip alone for that company, it added more than $1 trillion to the value of that company. It seemed like overnight. So I guess the question is now, when you see people like, Musk, Microsoft, all the big dogs investing in that company and the ships that they're making, where do you see this going? I mean, do you see that as just an ephemeral blimp that it finally just opened the door to a whole new world with AI? Or do you see that as something that's going to keep accelerating as they keep coming up with new ways to expand it? Where do you see that going 5 years from now?
It's probably lower 5 years from now, because the demand that we've seen over the last 6 months in regards to artificial intelligence has just been so abnormally high that it's really difficult to see how anyone could 5 years from now could be spending the same amount of money that they are now. And I think that's the danger of investing in a lot of these pick and axe type of companies that NVIDIA serves the broader AI market. Because I think the concern is, for me, is people are taking the growth rates, the CapEx related spending for artificial intelligence, and attributing those benefits to, say, a company like NVIDIA, and they're basically making a linear projection from it. And that's not realistic. I think there were a lot of people that jumped in over the last 6 months because they had a fear of missing out. And now we're in a wait and see period to see what those investments bear fruit. And from everything that I've seen so far, on general, it's just been disappointing. You still have significant issues with a lot of the major players. You know, ChatGPT was probably one of the major players. I mean, we would pl- play around with it just to see the developments of it. And it can't even put out a basic paragraph that's even factually correct. And a lot of misspelling. There's just significant holes in this technology. And my fear is, and I've said this before, my fear is the financial reward that has already been attributed to this particular technology, which has, by the way, been around for decades. This is just, you know, AI 2.0. The financial rewards attributed to this technology is just, it's grossly overstated or grossly inflated. The financial benefits that could be attributed realistically to developments that have happened within the space. There will be more AI 5 years from now than where we are right now, to be clear. And there will be tangible benefits that come from this latest round of investments in artificial intelligence. But again, the financial rewards that have been attributed to the developments and the technological advancements in, say, AI 2.0, it's just offside. We need to see a breather on this. And I think, again, it's attributable to the AI or to the internet bubble of 2000. The internet will be there 20 years later, like where we are talking now compared to the dot-com bubble. And there will be several internet stocks that will be huge, but you will see a ton go under. And more that will go under that actually survive. And the ones that survive will grow to be big, but you are more losers than winners. And so that's where we are, I think. And I think the comparables, while it's different technology, I think the comparables are certainly similar, especially from a valuation perspective. Again, my worry about, say, a company like NVIDIA, again, is people are taking the growth that they've seen, the revenue that they've seen, the last 6 months, last two quarters, and they're taking a linear growth to it. And that's just not feasible. It's not realistic. And chips are certainly a cyclical space. And look, AI is going to be cyclical also.
Well, let's go to the retail sector, for example. I'm just looking at different articles here on Bloomberg. You know, Abercrombie and Finch, they reported fourth quarter earnings that succeeded forecasts. Foot Locker reported sales that surpassed Wall Street's expectations. Then you have Nordstrom's. They're forecasting muted sales, to say the least. And you have Macy's selling off the stores. What's going on with the retail sector?
Look, it's a difference between the have and have nots. I think Nordstrom's an interesting case because it's been a continued issue. Nordstrom in particular, obviously, who do they cater to? The upper middle class. I mean, that's who generally shops at Nordstrom's. But they've been a systemic pressure, structural pressure now for a few years. This predated COVID. People are buying more goods online. They're buying less in stores. Again, and that's an issue of large big box department stores. And I would say Nordstrom's falls under that purview. But look, all retailers buy in, well, not all. Most retailers came under pressure. You referenced Foot Locker. Foot Locker was down 30% on its earnings. Yeah, they issued topside beats on expectations, but expectations were lowered so much that, right, unfortunately, while they beat their numbers, they issued poor guidance and their stock fell 30%. In a matter of 48 hours post-earnings. So look, there's an issue. I would point to the beige book instead of focusing on specific retailers. I would focus on the beige book, which just came out in the last 24 hours. And the beige book, it's a monthly report that comes from the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve puts together this beige book, that looks at all the districts and it looks at all the activity. And it notes certain regions and certain districts of who saw growth, who saw contraction, and what are their expectations. And broadly, from the beige book, it showed that the consumer or the demand for consumer goods deteriorated materially. Consumer spending on goods declined. Households were continuing to choose cheaper items and shift spending away from discretionary purchases. And activity for leisure and hospitality, which tends to be very volatile, which had been strong for the last 2 years, it varied by the region. And look, in real time, we've gotten restaurant data for the first couple months of the year. It's fallen off a cliff. Right. Now, some of that could be weather related. I think a good chunk of that is weather related. But when you think about the ultimate in service and discretionary spending, it's people going out to eat. You have seen a material fall in the amount of people going to restaurants. Now, remains to be seen. We'll get March data in a couple weeks, but January and February numbers have not been encouraging. And again, you think about some of the more volatile service numbers. Restaurants is one of those.
Well, when you go into the the energy sector. It seems like there's a war going on now between Hess, Exxon, Chevron. I guess there was a massive oil discovery off of Guyana. Are you familiar with what's going on with all that?
Sure. So you have a merger, and it is a situation where Chevron is trying to acquire Hess. As you mentioned, Hess made a discovery which, you know, could be a very, very, which could be a significant discovery of energy assets. But what we've seen is that was a joint project. Hess was not the only owner of that respective project. And so now you've seen, if there is a rival company to Chevron in the vertical integrated world, it's Exxon. And sure enough, what did you see? You saw Exxon filing a arbitration hearing to retain the preemptive rights to those respective assets. So those assets that they own, their ownership doesn't get diluted due to this impending Hess sale to Chevron. And look, I mean, do we think Chevron walks away from the Hess deal on this development? No, because there is a degree of scarcity value. It's just Chevron's trying to protect their interest in this respective project. But look, we have seen in the energy sector, we have seen numerous mergers in the last year at prices that I think a lot of people would say, well, it's a pretty fair price. It's not that big of a premium. And those mergers, I think realistically, are set to continue, especially with these large vertical integrated players like ExxonMobil and Chevron. ExxonMobil just did a deal last year, and it's in the process of closing now. But those companies are looking for reserves. And unfortunately, for people who want to see lower energy prices, the one consistent theme amongst all these acquisitions, and we talked about this on the show a couple of weeks ago, the one consistent development on all these acquisitions where you have a large acquirer buying a smaller entity is that the smaller entity, ultimately, when they get acquired, you see an immediate decline in the amount of yields, and it's just or amount of rigs being used, which hurts production. And so these large acquirers are trying to limit production or gain reserves in the near-term future.
Stosh, as always, we appreciate your sound sage advice, and we'll be talking to you tomorrow, buddy. You take care.
Take care, David.
You're listening to Stosh Graham, the Chief Investment Officer, Managing Director of Graham Capital Wealth Management in Washington, D.C. That's grahamcapitalwealth.com. You deserve the best. He's the only fund manager that I know of, money manager, that you're going to hear on the radio that talks about what's really going on. You could actually get to meet him and talk to him. So if you feel now is a good time to get a good second opinion on what you're doing, come and see us. Go to our website, schedule an appointment. It's grahamcapitaladvisors.com. You really want to be lucky in life, go help someone. Got a smile on you. You get to be incredibly lucky. We're lucky to be Americans. It's right on our currency. In God we trust. Good luck. God bless. Take care of each other. Stay safe out there. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Graham Capital Market Update. For more information on any of today's topics, visit grahamcapitaladvisors.com. This program is sponsored by Graham Capital Advisors, LLC, an independent estate planning and insurance agency. Investment advisory services are provided by Graham Capital Wealth Management, LLC, an independent registered investment advisor. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where Graham Capital Wealth Management and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. The information provided is for educational and informational purposes only and does not constitute investment advice, and it should not be relied on as such. Individuals should consult a qualified professional for guidance before making any purchasing decisions.